More than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. Episode 14, The I Thou World, Part 3. One further thing needs to be said about God the Holy Friend and the companionship of prayer. This is how the new creation is spreading through the universe. I've argued that when God the Son rose from the dead, this was the start of new creation, an event something like the Big Bang, a singularity. Death and the old order was overthrown. God had again stepped into history and done something totally new. There was a new Adam, the first fruits of a new world. The Bible seems to teach that God the Son's resurrection and then ascension into heaven paved the way for the next new thing in history, the giving or sending or pouring out of the Holy Friend. Soon after Jesus is inaugurated as King in heaven, he unleashes the Holy Friend into the earth. The first stroke of new creation, the resurrection, is quickly followed in history by another, the giving of the Holy Friend. The early church was in no doubt that something giant had happened, but they found it hard to put into words. They heard a great wind and saw flames of fire. They were filled with joy and certainty. They talked about the Holy Friend dwelling inside, or of the Holy Spirit uniting with our human spirit. Or they described him as a deposit, the first down payment of new creation placed within us. No longer do we have to rely on external inputs to know God, they claimed. Now he's inside us as well. Two things follow from the pouring out of the Holy Friend onto the earth. First, God the Holy Friend gives certainty and power to Christians. Christians become, to people who don't share the experience, annoyingly certain that God loves them and they are his children. They continue in this irritating habit, even when these Christians happen to be not very nice or good people. His presence and power inside Christians is a new note of hope and victory in the world, evidence that the old order of things is passing away. It isn't like the shadowy days of the remote past, before the first prophet spoke, where, as we saw, people weren't excluded from God, but were poorly informed. It's not even like the times when God was speaking to the Jews and the Holy Friend was at work in the world, but only in a limited and patchy way. Indeed, the Jewish prophets themselves prophesied about the time when this new and dramatic thing would happen. No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. That's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. That's the book of Joel, chapter 2. The early church insisted that with the coming of the Holy Friend, these prophecies were fulfilled. Second thing is that the good news becomes universal. The second thing that came with the coming of the Holy Friend was an explosion. The news of and the power of the new order of things was sent to the ends of the earth, famously. Jesus' last command to his people was, "Make disciples of all the nations." The church has not succeeded yet, in seeing all the nations bow the knee to the new king. But in 2,000 years of history, the community of those who at least notionally follow Christ has grown into every country, swallowing empires along the way, surviving every change of epoch. Now we can see how God's desire for I thou knowing with us changes everything. Start with Christ, installed as the new king in the world, first fruits of new creation. He sends the Holy Friend into the world, somehow dwelling in Christians and, in the context of the companionship of prayer, giving them certainty about Christ's love for them. This, in principle, settles the knowing and being issues that dog us. Our relationship with God, through the companionship of prayer, seems fragile, puzzling, and prone to mistake and misunderstanding. We still rebel. Hypocrisy and posing are never far away. Yet, we can nevertheless know that God loves us and has adopted us into his family. We can come to a settled certainty about our place in his heart. This is new. It's a taste of new creation. Flowing out of the knowing and being comes a doing. Whether the world wants it or not, the coming of the Holy Friend carries with it a kind of missionary impulse for the knowledge and power of Christ to be taken to every community and offered to every individual soul on earth. God's desire for intimate knowing of his people sweeps them like an ardent lover into his own passion, which is bringing new creation into the heart of the old. Thank you for listening this far, especially if you don't believe in God. I know that the atheist description of the world differs radically from what I've given here. It might go something like how we as a species were not freed by faith in God, but enslaved in dogma and subject to the whims of priests. It might say we were enslaved that way until reason and humanism overthrew it all and set us free. Galileo is often mentioned at this point, then the Crusades, and then probably the way, as I write this or speak this, Muslims are blowing up other Muslims in their hundreds for being the wrong sort of Muslim. I happen to believe this account of the world is a melange of sloppy definition and overgeneralization to confirm pre-existing prejudice. Many better writers have addressed these things, so I won't. But of course, that leaves the question. If the world is as I am describing it, and particularly if Christ is King and lover of it, and if God is here in power as the Holy Friend, how can it be in such a state? How can so little have changed over the years? And how can the church, for example, be divided into 20,000 denominations? Why do large parts of it wear silly hats? Why its obsession with money and power? What about all the sex abuse? These are fair questions for the next episode.